Welcome to the Marketing Millennials, the No BS Marketing Podcast. I'm Daniel Murray, and join me for unfiltered conversations with the brains behind marketing's coolest companies. The one request I tell our guests, stories or it didn't happen. Get ready to turn the f*** up.
Always be flexible.
There are no actual rules in content marketing.
I mean, I would say there's no actual rules in marketing in general. Like, everything is open. Everything's up for a try. But the more rigid you are to a specific strategy, especially if you don't have the data to back up why you are being specifically rigid toward it, I think the more opportunity you're missing in testing other options, other avenues, and things that could work really well.
This episode is sponsored by Wistia. Wistia is the all-in-one video platform for business. With Wistia, you can create, post, and publish professional quality videos with nothing but a laptop. Try Wistia for free at wistia.com/millennials. What's up, everybody? I'm here with the Tracy Wallace. We're going to do a rapid fire session, me and Tracy together, all about content marketing. Tracy is one of the best in the content marketing realm, and you probably know that because you read her newsletter, Contentment, but I'm excited to get into this. Tracy, you ready to start?
I'm ready. I am nervous. I am a long talker. Short answers are hard for me, but this is good. It's a challenge. I'm ready.
Okay, the first question I have for you is, describe your background in 20 seconds.
I come from a family-owned business, so we sell cotton and pillows to a lot of businesses in the United States, so got to hear a lot of really great business talk growing up. It ended up leading with me going into journalism. Journalism led to the e-commerce space.
What's your top content marketing KPI?
It depends. So when I'm working for early stage startups, revenue is very much the top KPI. At larger companies, you're typically working more in an integrated marketing fashion. So content is a little bit more of a service organization. So, I mean, revenue is still a part of it, but, you know, quality, I guess you can't measure quality, quantity, impressions, page views, page depth, a lot of different KPIs come into play depending on the audience that you're serving and who your marketing partners are.
How would you define content marketing?
You are writing content to educate an audience for a service. So content marketing is about priming an audience over time to think of your organization as a thought leader.
And what is your quickest win in content marketing?
Publishing research reports. That stuff can go a really, really long way. In fact, you can do just like one of those a quarter and pretty much your entire content strategy can be built around that. Webinars, also wildly effective.
What is a content marketing trend that you think is overrated right now?
I think a lot of different things can work for different organizations. SEO keeps popping up in my brain, but SEO can be really effective in a lot of different places. But like, let's say SEO right now. I have a feeling we're going to come back to that though.
How often do you refresh or renew your content strategy?
So annually, we set like content themes and the types of content that we publish. But quarterly, we are updating the content strategy based on quarterly business review, understanding how content worked, which exact themes work. And then, you know, you're trying to reinvest in what worked well and de-invest from the things that didn't.
And how would you handle if your content was underperforming?
It depends on where it's underperforming. It depends on what KPIs it's underperforming for.
Let's go revenue, because we talked about that as the number one KPI.
So, I mean, first place I'm going to look is distribution then. How well did this piece of content get distributed? Were all of the channels firing or did we miss there? Is this a content issue or is it a distribution issue? You often want to look at conversion rate too. A lot of those things are outside of content marketers' hands, depending on the organization that you're at. That's where I would start, is looking at distribution. How well did we distribute?
And what is a content format that has been gaining traction for you right now?
Webinars. I hate it and I love it at the same time. It's wild. Webinars were like wildly popular when I started content marketing over a decade plus ago. And they are some of the most effective content types right now. I have this like gut feeling that we just like need to rebrand webinars because they sound awful, but people really love them.
Webinar is just a horrible name. It's a horrible name.
Horrible
name. What is a big mistake that people make when content planning?
Being too rigid, not being flexible enough to change your strategy when you need to change it. And almost every organization needs to change on a regular basis. Like large organizations are not keeping with the same strategy quarter over quarter. You can plan for a year for sure and have a general idea, but it's going to change. Pretty much everything you do is going to change in that time. And that's okay.
How do you balance evergreen content versus trending content?
I mean, I think it probably depends on your strategy in an individual quarter and what the goals of your organization are for that quarter. But evergreen content still ranks incredibly well when updated regularly, and you need to be like doing that gardening, doing that updating and repurposing on a regular basis. But you can't let go of campaign content. That's necessary for running an organization. Campaigns are what drive a bunch of revenue for companies. So you really have to keep an eye on both. It's not a great answer, but like both matter a lot.
And what is your best tip for being time efficient with content creation?
Again, it depends on organization size. For smaller companies that are just getting started, I think you could do 2 webinars a month and build an insane amount of content based on that. So you can repurpose webinars into podcasts potentially. You can repurpose them into blog posts, into social videos. There's a lot that you can do. You can also start from a podcast angle and repurpose a lot of content into a lot of different formats from there. For larger organizations, I think it's a little bit different because usually you are producing content for specific campaigns and there's just a lot more hands and things. One thing that we're finding really helpful right now is going back and looking at a lot of maybe like the longer form content that we've produced and cutting that up into smaller pieces based on some on the like new ways that the Google algorithm is working. So it really is, you know, you have to look at it every single quarter, understand how things worked, what didn't work, and readdress your strategy from there.
How do you ensure your content resonates with your audience?
I mean, a big part of it is talking to our sales team, reading through sales calls. I have a Feedly account where I'm constantly reading e-commerce news and information. I'm in a lot of e-commerce operator Slack channels talking to folks in there. I think you really have to care a lot about your target audience and about the issues they're facing. It's why I started this interview with saying I come from a family-owned business background where we were a B2B organization, manufacturer. The e-commerce world as a result is really close to my heart. It's the world that I know incredibly well and that I grew up with. And that natural curiosity, I think, is really important. It's why a lot of journalists end up doing pretty well in the content marketing space.
I know video content has been rising for a while. How important do you think video content is in your strategy?
It's so important, and it is so hard to get the resources for it to do it incredibly well. So if you were an early company or if you were working at a smaller like startup organization, I mean, yeah, prioritize webinars, prioritize podcasts and like the recording of those podcasts from a video perspective and repurpose that content like crazy, especially on social channels where there's still so much opportunity for distribution. And the vast majority of that opportunity is a video opportunity. God, video is so important. For larger organizations, you have to make a case for video. You might have to do tests for video. You really have to figure out a strong video strategy. That isn't easy, especially as you are trying to help folks move from like a campaign way of thinking to videos often have to be planned out like 6 months in advance. You need like a steady cadence of them, especially for some of these larger organizations. So I would really encourage folks focusing on evergreen content, best practices content, and trying to produce, you know, videos and like the, what style is this? Lengthwise and so like the other way. But yeah, it's wildly important. And too many content marketers are stuck on a hamster wheel of written content and not getting enough resources or support for video content. Though I think the talent's there to do it. Just it's a lack of time and lack of resources.
And one of the things that I know people struggle with a lot is content ideation. So what's a tip to improve that in your organization?
Your sales team is probably recording a bunch of their calls. Look through their calls. There's usually transcripts in all of that software. That's a really good place to find ideas for content. I like to look at a lot of like universities, Harvard Business Review, like what are like people teaching? You can use like Masterclass for this, like any like online education source. Like what are some of the most popular things that folks are looking to learn? And can like, can I teach that? Like, does my tool enable that in a way? Like, can I take an interesting stance on that? I get a lot of some of my best ideas from how those organizations are approaching education. Other than that, I read an insane amount of research. Forerunner Ventures just came out with their 200-page consumer research. Every single page of it is phenomenal. Highly encourage you reading it and like thinking on like every single side. How does this apply to me? How can I take this information and apply it to my audience?
Hey, marketing bestie. Wistia's every marketer's best kept secret when it comes to video. Pop Wistia's email collector forms on your videos to generate leads. Send viewing data to your marketing automation platform to nurture and convert your prospects. Even engage your audience with in-video CTAs that drive viewers further down your funnel. Seriously, besties, give Wistia a try. Start a free trial at wistia.com/millennials1. That's WISTIA.com/millennials1. I know we talked about content distribution a little bit, but what is an overlooked aspect of content distribution?
Content distribution as a whole is often overlooked entirely. I think it's important to figure out how to operationalize the social extensions of your content. So if you're writing a blog, your writers know that content best. How can you work with them to operationalize the like an outline or even the production of a LinkedIn post that doesn't necessarily send back to the content, but takes that main theme of the content specifically for LinkedIn? How can you do the same thing for X or Instagram? Or how does that then translate to video? But how can we get writers who are fantastic at the written word, who understand like what it is that they're trying to communicate, and like have them on a first pass begin to offer some suggestions on how that translates to other mediums? What I find with larger organizations, or even, this happened even in the startups that I worked at, having a social media person or an email marketing person read through content to pull out the main themes is nowhere near as effective as having a writer do it on that first pass. So I think you really have to operationalize the importance of distribution and the summarization of content.
I know you're a big advocate for repurposing content. So how do you decide which content to repurpose?
So right now, I am looking at a lot of our long-form content that we've produced over the last few years. And again, shortening that content for the way that the search algorithm seems to be working today, where long-form content just isn't ranking as well as it used to. So shortening it up into like why content, what content, how content seems to be working really well. That's decently easy to do. The content in those long form pieces is great. You might need a couple new introductions. Maybe you have a chance to go in and redo some of the images. That can be really helpful. Another way that we repurpose content, I would say from the get-go, is making sure every single piece of content we produce, that we understand the use cases for that content. So is this going to be used for the small business team? Can this also be reused by, I don't know, an international team? Like, before we produce, do we have at least 3 known use cases for this asset? And if that answer is no, then that asset just isn't a priority.
What are the ways you align your content marketing goals with the overall marketing team's goals, initiatives, and the business initiatives?
We have SEO goals, so organic traffic goals that we're working toward alongside our web team. And then we have lead gen goals that are related to individual campaigns. And we work really closely with our demand gen team on that. So we look at content a little bit like performance content. So that's SEO content. We want to drive organic search traffic through that. And then also understand conversion rate on those pieces. For instance, maybe a keyword that we go after has lower volume but higher conversion rate. That's probably more valuable for us than something that would drive higher volume but lower conversion rate, depending on the volume numbers that you're talking there. And then we have thought leadership content, which is typically associated with campaigns and driving leads. And then within that thought process, you're looking at, okay, are we driving top of funnel leads? Maybe this is a like consumer research report that's like really just grabbing interest. But then how do we bring those people on a journey? So maybe we're launching a webinar to follow up with those folks that, you know, folks who show up to that webinar may be warmer than folks who don't. And then what's that like second and third piece of asset that or assets that fall within the middle of funnel and bottom of funnel to make sure that we're creating as much of an experience as we possibly can for individual campaigns. And those, of course, are mapping back to larger marketing and overall larger company goals.
Creating content is half the battle of a content marketer. How do you do the other half of what are some ways, effective ways to market the content to make sure it's actually seen by your audience?
It's a distribution question. And again, it differs in small organizations versus larger organizations. In larger organizations, you typically have an integrated marketing function. And if you do not, you should. It's wildly helpful. That means you have channel specialists that are working on, say, you know, organic social, paid social, content syndication, or paid media placements in general. You have a PR team, you have an email team. And it's super important that as you are building out campaigns, everybody is aligned on like what it is you're saying, what the ultimate goals are, what the content idea is. We typically think about it in terms of like a, you know, three-legged stool where you have a content person, a product marketing person, and a media, like a PR person, all working closely together to figure out like what is the overall message we want to get in market with what type of asset. And of course, demand gen comes into that pretty heavily as well. For smaller organizations, content folks are often both content and social and often a lot of other things. That's where I ultimately think reducing content volume, focusing on format repurposing of like maybe an individual asset that you've produced. So say you produce a webinar. Now you're repurposing that into a blog. Maybe that blog then becomes a one pager for your sales team, and you're working within any individual month to really distribute that specific content, measure the impact, and then repeat with either the same topic or something a little different based on how it worked.
As a content marketer, you get a lot of content asks. What is your number one tip of how to prioritize those content asks?
Honestly, it's something I could probably get better at myself. I am very much known as a yes person. But in terms of prioritizing, again, a lot of it for me goes back to, is this piece of content going to be impactful? And how many use cases are we going to get? The worst thing that could happen for me and my teams is we create something that nobody sees. At least in my position now, I don't own distribution. So I need larger teams. I need more than one person, more than one internal team saying that they're going to use something, that they are aligned with the idea. I need to see documented plans on how we're going to distribute often before we begin to create. And if a piece of content cannot serve multiple functions for multiple teams, then again, it just becomes a lower priority. It's not that we won't produce it. It's just, it's not what we're focused on.
What is an underrated content marketing tip you would tell people?
Webinars.
Oh, I love it. I love webinars. That's why we're doing a webinar right now.
Yes, webinars are it right now, you guys. I also think that questioning everything, things change a lot in content marketing for sure, and marketing in general in life, but the pendulum swings, right? Long form content was the thing for a while. We're seeing this kind of push towards more shorter form content, even from an algorithm perspective. How can you understand the industry and the history of content marketing, what has worked well for other people, and find that space that people aren't doing something and invest in that or test that? That's always something I'm trying to keep my eye out for, to see if you can figure out a way to be an early adopter, one of the first brands to do something to bring something back. By the time folks are talking about it on the internet, you're already late. You've missed the boat on being early to get the biggest wins.
How do you increase that speed to market of a content beat? Because there's also a lot of, I know you have a lot of lead time for some pieces, but how do you balance that speed to market versus the lead time pieces?
I mean, it depends on the piece, right? So if you are trying to report on an industry trend or news cycle, you need to go fast, right? And so those pieces can get turned around in 48 hours to, I don't know, maybe a week or so tops. And you can get a nice hero image on it or whatever. But the content's the primary purpose. You're trying to get this out. You're trying to educate people. Speed is of the essence. Versus if you are, say you're trying to get, whether it's benchmarks or some kind of research report out, is the timing of that actually crucial, or is the UX of it the part that's actually more important, right? How is it that you are going to stand out? Sometimes speed to market is how you stand out. Sometimes user experience is how you stand out. And I would say more often than not, user experience is the way that content teams stand out today. So speed is important, sure. I think it's less important than how your pages look, what the experience is. A lot of folks are leaning into interactive. A lot of folks are leaning into video. There's a lot of content out there. You have to figure out a way to stand out, and speed often isn't one of the ways that you do it anymore.
What is a content marketing hill you would die on?
Always be flexible. There are no actual rules in content marketing. I mean, I would say there's no actual rules in marketing in general. Everything is open. Everything's up for a try. But the more rigid you are to a specific strategy, especially if you don't have the data to back up why you are being specifically rigid toward it, I think the more opportunity you're missing in testing other options, other avenues, and things that could work really well.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy. This has been great. And I hope everybody got as much value as I did from Tracy. So thank you so much for being here today. This has been awesome.
This is the shortest I will speak ever. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to hear more great insights from marketing's coolest operators. If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to the Marketing Millennials podcast and giving it a 5-star rating. It helps bring more marketers into our community.